gathered in your precious holy name, Lord. In one mind and one accord this morning, Lord, we gather to sing praises unto you and to hear thy word. Lord, we just feel your holy peace, Lord, down in our hearts. Lord, we're so thankful. We just appreciate you with all our hearts, Lord. We ask you to have your way in this service. Everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Seated. I'd like to start out on page 23 in our Only Believe. My faith looks up to thee. Amen. Blessed person, if it's truly the case this morning. Amen. My faith looks up to thee. Job and hold fast. Amen. Page 477. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
To follow.
Despise you. They may be jealous of you. Amen. Though none go with me, I will still follow him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go back to page 24. Amen. Sung this song for so many years, but sitting there reading the words this morning. There's a lot of meaning. Living by faith. Amen. It'll truly change your life. Hallelujah. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worry is vain. Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know and I feel, hallelujah, ruleth o'er everything, and all of your worries in vain, hallelujah. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe in his sheltering arms, nothing to worry about, amen. Such peace, hallelujah. I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm, hallelujah. What a blessed person, if you can say that this morning. Sung this song so many years, but if you really sit down and read the words of this song, if we could just live by faith, there would be no worries. Amen. We just appreciate him and love him. Amen. We thank him that he has his grace and mercy on us, that we can live by his faith. Amen. Anyone have a need upon their heart this morning as we take the request before him? Amen. Remembering all the ones that's sitting in their living room this morning, tuning in, we just ask this, bow our heads now. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again. Lord, in these human bodies, Lord, there's many needs. Lord, that's why you're a healer. Lord, you're always there for us when we need you, Lord. Lord, there's nothing to worry about in this life, Lord, as long as you walk with us. Lord, as long as you walk beside us. Lord, you're leading and you're guiding. Lord, we just appreciate your presence here this morning. Lord, we just appreciate your love and your mercy that's brought us this far, Lord. Lord, we know one thing is for sure. You will take us the rest of the way, Lord. Amen. You will not leave your own behind, but you will take them and lead them and guide them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, there may be people sitting beside us, Lord. Our loved ones, our family. They may wonder why we make decisions we do. They may make fun of you. They may despise you. But Lord, as long as we are following your leadership, that's all that matters. Lord, just have your way in our lives, Lord. Lord, if we get off on the wrong path, Lord, direct us. Lord, put us back in line, Lord, so we know that you are with us and you're guiding and leading, Lord, because that's what we want. Lord, we just ask you to bless each and every, Lord, person that's tuned in this morning. Lord, we ask you to bless their lives, bless their families. Lord, bless the hearing, Lord, this morning of the word to their hearts. Lord, and each one of us here also. Lord, we'll give you all the glory and honor that's due unto you. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Anyone have a special this morning, Sister Grace, by chance? What would I do without Jesus? Amen. If you could help me find that page of that. 619. Amen. How true this is. Amen. What would I do without Jesus? He's the shepherd of my valley. Lord, I just Hallelujah. Amen. So true. Amen. When I need someone to talk to, he's always there to listen. I can feel him listening. Hallelujah. With arms all about me, he rocks me in his bosom. What would I do without you, Lord? Hallelujah. You are the shepherd of my valley. I couldn't make it. I would have never made it this far without him. What would I do? Amen. Appreciate you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If we all stand at this time, amen. We'll ask our pastor to come and deliver what the Lord's laid on his heart. Amen. Let's sing that chorus. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with
Precious Heavenly Father, again we truly are so thankful and greatly appreciative of this little opportunity you give us to gather here, Lord, around your precious word. And Father, not only here, but Lord, as the ones that's gathered in their homes, may they be blessed, Lord, and their hearts open to the word of God as we enter into it. And Lord, make every word so real to us. And we know that, Father, that is truly a work of your Holy Spirit. There's no way that a man, woman, young person, not nobody, Lord, can understand these things on our own. We can sometimes get an intellectual understanding, but Lord, we need the spiritual understanding. So we ask that by your Holy Spirit you move in our hearts and our lives now in Lord, just deal with us, Father, that which we have need of as individuals. We ask it again for your glorious, most precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be back again in the house of the Lord, and trust those that are at home and gathered where they're at to listen to the word, that you'd be open-hearted, ready to receive the word, and truly have your heart open to it in asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. And I trust that you, as you said at home, also you have your Bibles laying with you. And go through the scripture with us if you can. All right, so we want to read first a scripture. Before I actually get into my message, and I want to pick up where we was last Sunday. But before we get into it, I just want to read a scripture of advice. And trusting it will help someone, and actually we could each one of us apply it to ourselves if we would. So we're going to read Matthew 18 chapter and just read a few verses here. Book of Matthew and the 18th chapter, and we will read beginning at the first verse. And just listen, and like I said, I just want it to be a word of advice to you before we go back into this message. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And may the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. Now, we realize in reading this that, if I spoke on this before, and I'm sure we understand these things, that, you know, as our Lord Jesus used this child, now of all things, you know, when his disciples ask him, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom?" And out of all these things he could have said, and what as far as what we think he could have said, as far as carnal way of thinking, we would think surely he could have said something different than this, you know. But he used the little example of a child, and setting that child in the midst of them, and then uses this child to say, okay, this is what you've got to be like. You know, and if you're not like this child, you'll not enter into the kingdom. And I've thought about that even with this morning's message. I thought, you know, so many times a word comes or a message comes, we read the word or listen to the word. And sometimes I've seen it happen so many times where people already have their mind made up, you know, but yet they'll sit there and listen, you know, to what the preacher has to say, or maybe even sit down just to read the Bible. But they'll have their mind already made up that, that isn't what it means. Or it might be that it's not for me, or he didn't mean that, you know. But speaking of this child, you see, it's humble. And we know as raising children, and of course today in this age which we're living in, children are so much different because they're being raised so much different. I mean, you see just little children, 2 and 3 years old, that's just have become total chaos and smart alecks, know-it-alls. And they see this on television and all these different things, and the children they play with out in the world, and it's just turned into a complete mess. But when children were raised right, they were truly humble. And they always want to know, what's this, Daddy? How does this work? Why is it this way? You know, how come this is going the way it is? So humble because they don't know a lot, you know, so they are very inquisitive and they want to know and they're hungry to know and they're so ready to learn, you know, and it's like I've used the illustration before, you know, if it's maybe outside at night and see the great big full moon. And, of course, they have a lot of trust in their daddy and mommy, you know, and at that age. And they say, "Daddy, what is the moon made out of?" And if daddy would say, "It's blue cheese, son," they'd believe it. Because they're so humble and so hungry and inquisitive and wanting to know, wanting to learn. And I believe that's what the Lord is trying to get to here, to let us see that we should be in a position, we want to learn, we want to understand, not just learn something intellectually, but we want to know and understand the ways of God and what God has prepared for us. And that's the way we've got to come before God. "Lord, I need to know." Not come before him and say, "I already know about this, but I'll listen." And you might be a million miles off. That's a dangerous place to be in, you see. But the Lord Jesus has warned us to be as a little child, be humble, and listen what he has to say. And that's what we want to listen to today, is what the Word has to say, because he is the Word. Remember St. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So we realize that as I read this Word, it's God, you see, in written form. and how God's men has wrote this Bible down through the years and was inspired by the Holy Ghost. So it wasn't really men writing it. It was the Holy Ghost writing it. So it was God in spirit form using these men to write these things. And that's why you'll never see anything in the Scripture break continuity. It will stay in continuity every time. If you see the word break continuity, you better go back and look at it again. You better pray about it and ask God to help you see it, because God will never break continuity with his own self, you see. All right? So in thinking about that, and I was thinking about, you know, before I go back in this message too, you know, we're living in a, what, as a pastor would see it, a frightening time. Not in a point to where they fear that they're lost or anything like that, but it's a great fear or frightening time. A time when people are not really prepared for what's coming. And people think they are. People think they're ready for it, but they're really not ready for it. And so we feel that responsibility because we, as God's ministry, being a part of that, we feel that responsibility to make sure the people are ready for this and they're moving on time with what the Holy Spirit's doing and what's taking place around us. You know, we see this in, you know, sometimes I hear so much of it, I get sick of it, but of all the crazy things going on in the world today, you know, as far as what this virus started and people running for fear and people are getting very upset and they're in a place of very disgruntled. And you see the meanness coming out of people and you see the wickedness coming out. And then on the other hand, you see some people, you know, taken the other way and they're trying to be kinder and they try to be more understanding and so forth. But truly, the world is falling apart, as Brother Branham said. You know, and it's, and there's things yet to come, and things yet to come that before the bride leaves. But the thing of it is, are we ready for it? Are we ready to face what is yet to come? You see, are we ready for it? Now, the only way we can be ready to face anything that happens in that God allows to happen and will happen before the rapture. You say you believe there's going to be a rapture? Absolutely. The true bride of Jesus Christ will be raptured up. And she will be raptured up before the tribulational period sets in. And then it's really going to be bad. You don't want to be here. No. So the message this morning is to again continue to prepare you, or maybe to some show you the way. And my question is again, as I asked last Sunday, will you accept it? Will it change your life? And I'm not only talking to people that maybe absolutely don't know nothing about this. I'm talking about those that believe they're born again. Okay? Because if you'll always notice the promises, God's blessings, God's protection was only for those that have the Holy Ghost, you see. So we realize it's something serious to, we know we must fulfill as Jesus said. You know, we read the scripture last week of St. John 3:7. I'll read it again just to refresh your mind. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye, or in other words, you. And we have to make it personal. Okay, when he says this, he's just not talking to the wind. But he's telling you as an individual. Okay, just forget everybody else around you. Maybe even somebody sitting with you at home, whatever, sitting here, whatever it may be. Forget all about that person beside of you. God is telling you that you must be born again. I must be born again. Now, sometimes people get a little wound up, you know, when you begin to bring things and would maybe step, we'll say it in this way, maybe step on their toes a little bit and make them start thinking or feeling, I wonder if I am born again or not. Do I really have the new birth? Am I really? And sometimes people get a little upset, you know. But we'll get to that here in a minute. But I want to read again, just fresh your minds, one more scripture we read last Sunday and have it fresh in your mind so we can pick up with this. This was in James 1, and we'll begin the 21st verse. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Okay? As I explained to you last Sunday, those are things that maybe still you're hanging on to after your conversion, and maybe you just don't feel it's quite important enough that you should die out to it. And maybe it's just a little something there that maybe little things is hidden that needs to still be crucified and mortified as deeds from you. And you don't think it's important. Maybe you're not ashamed of, and it doesn't bother you to break the law of the land, says drive 55, and you don't care. You're not ashamed of it, and you'll just go ahead and drive 70, even if it says 55. Because Jesus himself said, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give unto God what belongs to God. So, that superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness. Again, that's with gentleness and humility we just spoke about, that Jesus talked about. The engrafted word, okay, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. I remember saying last Sunday, maybe you're questioning because maybe you see people, there's people in your life maybe. Maybe there's relatives in your life. Maybe there's friends or your brother or sister in Christ that you feel. And maybe there's a questionnaire that's come up that you still see them doing things that you wonder, how could this be? How could this be? I mean, for them to be, say, they're born again, and they even talk to me about Christianity. They even talk to me about coming to the Lord, as to say. And yet, I see these things in their life, and I just can't understand it. And it becomes a stumbling block to you. And you just can't figure it out. And maybe to the point you think, is this really what Christianity is about? A bunch of hypocrites? No, that's not Christianity. That is hypocrites. Okay? That is people that say with their lips they are filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to show you today because these things are going to answer some questions you may have. You think, how can this be? I don't understand this. Because not everybody, but Timothy mentioned the other night, not everybody says, Lord, Lord. I don't mean anything. I don't care if you prophesy in his name. No. Don't mean anything. It's whether you're born again or not. And there's so many millions of people on the earth today that say with their lips they have a new birth. And the Word, not Brother Steve now, the Word says they are not born again. Now that's what, that's the channel I want you to catch today again. Because that's why you see so many times, as I talked about, there might be a pastor or somebody maybe preach faithfully to a group of people and stays with that word. And then when he's gone, the people go into adultery and everything else. Because they never was born again to start with. Now they profess with their lips they was. But we will see how important this is because it's something so easy for people to do is talk. Isn't that one of the most easiest things for you to do outside of breathing? Talk. And talk is so cheap. I mean, it's cheap. If we don't speak God's word, it's so cheap. And it can go out so worthlessly. But God's word never fails. That's why we want to speak on his word today. Let his word show us. And help us to understand really what this new birth is. Not people standing around saying, I'm born again. Not people standing around wearing long dresses and they think that does it. Not men not cutting their hair and they cut their hair nice and not smoking, drinking. They think they're Christians and they're all of a sudden born again because they're not doing those things out in the world. No, that's not it, friends. Though if you're born again, you'll quit those things. If you're born again, you're a woman, you will not wear a man's apparel. You'll wear women's clothing. You'll do all these things because the Scripture says what to do. It's the roadmap. It's the direction. It's the guidance of what we should do. And again, there's no way, I'll put this in there real quick. There is no way a man, woman, young person, nobody can do these things, all of it, without Christ being in them. This is a life, as the prophet said, you cannot live yourself. So don't try, because it will never, ever work. You may go as far as being a woman and a sister and wear your dresses right, not showing any your body that men could lust after, because the Scripture says not to do that. You may be a man and never smoke, drink, curse, or anything. You might not wear long hair. You might do this, that, and the other, just like the Scripture said you should be. Everything just exactly right, and still go around and hate somebody. Yeah. Or still go around and maybe be that man that looks so nice and got a nice family, nice home, comes to church faithfully, pays his tithes, offerings, all these things, and he looks at a naked woman and lusts after her and commits adultery with her in his heart already. You see? You can do all these things. But again, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, regardless of what any preacher says, any person says, don't you listen to them unless it's that. Because God don't lie, and he does not change. Okay? Now, if we find ourselves doing these things that we should not do, and claiming to be born again, then we need to really cry out to God before it's too late if you're not overcoming them and it just keeps on going in your life. If you don't find yourself, you're ashamed of not paying attention to the law and it says 55 and you don't care and you'll tell people you don't care and you'll run 80 and don't care who sees you or you may even try to hide it. You better get down on your knees and pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You see? Because this is what it's all about, this conversion, is a change. You're different than what you used to be. Now, I know I'm going back to a lot of elementary things, but I want you to understand these things. Now, again, back to the book of James. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Because see, that's what you'll see a lot when they're not born again. They don't do it. They hear it. Oh, they'll listen to it. But they don't do it. Okay? Deceiving your own selves. That's what Paul's saying. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You think, how could a man do this? I mean, look at himself in a mirror and forget what he was. Something don't make sense. Something ain't adding up. You see? Okay. But whoso looketh into the perfect law, oh my, that's complete, friends, the Word of God, of liberty. And truly, friends, the Word of God will set you at liberty. Your desire will be to do everything that word says to do. All right? And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. Now just think about it. As you listen to these words that I read today, I read maybe last Sunday, and maybe circumstances arise, trials and tests come forth, and you just don't even think about it. and just keep on failing and not overcoming, and the word doesn't come to you, then it's serious. You say, seriously? Seriously. It's very serious. And so many people do that. They claim to be born again. Believe me, over the years, I've talked to people down through the years, and people maybe get themselves in a mess and talk to them. And you know, I never even thought about that. I should have thought about that. It never even come to me that that was wrong. Something's wrong. If God did spark something in your heart, even begin to, is that all it meant to you? Remember, if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. So is our love right for Christ? See, there's a lot of things to measure ourselves by. You say, well, what's your goal this morning, Rusty? If I can just get people to understand what truly the new birth is and what it will do, that'll be tremendous. Instead of people going around saying, I'm born again. Believe me, friends, you see it all the time. You see people out in the world do it. I mean, they're living the most corrupted life there is, but because they go to church and they went and got baptized and they take communion, they think everything's okay. Is all that all the greater God is? God is much greater than that and much more powerful than that. But people try to make Him that He ain't got no power, He ain't got no authority, He can't do nothing. He's just a myth, He's a fog, a mist. Nonsense. God's the Almighty and powerful. He's a changing God in our life. He changes our lives, I should say. Changes from what we was to something different. And what we get changed to is one that manifests His Word or fulfills His Word, as to say. Okay? And He says here, but whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, again, as I said a little bit ago, now some people get a little upset, you know, when you, especially believers. People's got a lot of word under their belts. Yeah. They get a little upset and a little uptight when a preacher gets up and especially when they're not doing right, when they should, and they think the preacher's pointing his finger right at them. And they're taking it all in. He's talking to me. He's laying this all out to me, and I don't agree with this. I don't like this. I have a little bit of a rough feeling about it. It ruffles their feathers a little bit, you know. Get a little uptight about it. So I wonder if today, if who I speak to today, will you get a little ruffled and upset because I speak about this new birth? And maybe say things and bring things in the Word that maybe it points to you and you think, wow, I know I'm born again. I don't care what he says. I know I am. Well, just don't forget the advice I give you to start with. To be as a little child. Open-hearted and say, Lord, I've got to know. Now, if you are, this will give you a greater assurance. If you're not, if you have anything at all in you, a little seed of life laying in you, it's going to cause you to scream out and ask God for help. Yeah. And if nothing's there, you just go on. And your destiny is a lake of fire. Yeah. Because you thought you knowed more. You thought you, from maybe some past priest, pastor, teacher, whatever in the past, told you this certain thing, and that's what you're going to hold on to because you're more comfortable with it as far as your feelings. But one thing about it, friends, it's the truth that shall set you free. Not some pastor, priest, pastor, teacher, whatever it may be. It's God's Word that will set you free, you see. All right, now let's go on. So you say, well, you get a little upset? Yeah. And do I not expect somebody to get not upset in this day? No, I expect it. Because I'm in the same position, and any minister is, and if he's preaching the truth, as I'm trying my best to, and get people to see the reality of things, it's no different than what Stephen went through. And Stephen, when he went into this, at a certain time we can find him really preaching, but boy, he laid it on him. Yeah. And we'll read it in Acts the 7th chapter, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn with us. Acts the 7th chapter, and we'll begin to 51st verse. And we left a lot of his preaching out, but we're going to pick up here, so don't take so much time. Acts 7:51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised. Wow. I think I've yet to take it pretty lightly. I've been pretty easy on people. Yeah. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. He knew they wasn't born again. Yeah. You mean, can a man of God know when somebody's born again? Yeah, according to the Word. It ain't his judgment. It ain't him judging. But God's Word tells you whether every man's born again or not. Yeah. It's not a secret. God openly, through His Word, tells you who has it and who doesn't. Yeah. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Now, if you look at it, heart, it always refers back to the soul in the Greek. Okay? Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Look how many times the Holy Ghost is offered. Look how many times the Holy Ghost is opened up and brought out and spoke about and offered for people to receive. Yeah. And resist it. Yeah. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do ye, or you. Which of the prophets have not of your fathers persecuted? Yeah, they persecuted plenty of them. Which ones didn't they? They did. They persecuted many of the prophets. And a prophet is a man that has the word of the Lord. Yeah. God uses that man to speak through him and reveals things to him. Which the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, our Lord Jesus, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Oh my, just people still have a murdering spirit sometime when you want to try to show them the truth and try to wake them up to really what the new birth will do. Do they get a little murderous? Maybe they know better to say something, but down in their heart, they just love to stop it, those things being said. Wonder how many would love to stop what I'm saying today and what I'm going to read. They'd really deep down inside love to stop it and change my message to something else. You see? He says, who have received the law by the disposition of angels. It's God's messengers. Yeah. Just what a prophet is, a messenger. And have not kept it. Now listen to that. Now we read these different words in the Bible of what these prophets have wrote. And even what the prophet has said in this day and age. Do we keep it? Or do we not keep it? I remember Stephen's letting them see they ain't got something. And boy, they're getting hot. I mean, they're going to come to a boiling point. Because they think they know it all. They are not humble. They know the law of Moses. They know the Old Testament. Well, see, the New Testament is in the process of being wrote now as we read this. You see? Back at that time. And they didn't have the New Testament. It was being lived and expressed out at that time. But here they had the law of Moses. They knew the word, they thought. But they was missing the present hour word. Okay. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'd rather been on Stephen's side than their side. Yeah, I'd rather been in Stephen's shoes than their shoes. Yeah. And said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Aye, him having the Holy Ghost, he was seeing some tremendous things, wasn't he? But they that didn't have the Holy Ghost wasn't seeing nothing. No. Even though it was offered to them. You can see the many things that Stephen offered, different things to him before we picked up, begin to read, to understand. He says, "But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears." I wonder how many times maybe somebody will stop your ears today. With the attitude, "I know I'm born again." But just remember, God knows more about you than you know yourself. Yeah. Do we really know we're born again? See? And they ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Saul was one of the witnesses, which became later Paul, that wrote many scriptures in his Bible. But Saul, or Paul at that time, was a witness to this. And it was doing his heart good. Because he had the attitude he was going to heal all these Christians, these born-again believers, into prison. Even have them killed if possible. He couldn't stand them. He wanted to do away with them. But my, what a great change happened in Paul's life. This man that was so against Stephen. Yeah, so against him for preaching that truth. He was ready for him. Let him stone him. Give me the young man's clothes. Lay him down at my feet. I've got him. I'll witness this. This is a good feeling. But this haunted Paul the rest of his life. Scripture shows it did. And yet Paul changed. And that's the thing oftentimes people can't realize. They think because maybe they smoked, they drank, and maybe they ran around with women, done some things like that, really bad things, you know. And he decided, well, that's enough. You know, I feel the Lord dealing with my heart, and praise God, I think I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. And that's as far as it goes. They cleaned their life up. They quit doing a lot of those things. Yeah, it's sanctification. Cleaned her life up, you know, and feel the Lord dealing with her heart. For some reason, though, it just seems to be, maybe they went 20, 30 years living like a Christian would most of the time. Notice I said most of the time. And really a nice person now to talk to. Nice person to be around. Pretty nice little fella. Or she's a pretty nice little saint, you know. And for some reason, so many times, it just stops there. It stops there. It don't go no further. And here and then, there's people standing back here, sitting back and looking at these so-called Christians, believers. And they're looking back at these people and thinking, you know, I know they really straighten their life up and this, that, and the other, but and maybe there's something pulling on the inside of them. They've been searching some of the Word and why has that person still got a temper like that? I don't understand this. I mean, if you don't handle them with a white glove, they just want to spout right back at you. just mean. You know, they're always out murmuring, complaining, and about this, that, and the other, and just saying everything to discourage you, a person, if nothing else. Well, I don't understand this. You know, here's that person sitting there in that position. Maybe the Lord's dealing with them, and they had to sit there and look. This is what Christians is. And they just got done reading in the Bible these things of what they should be and what they stopped doing, you know, and what they're to do if they're Christians and believers in Christ and all this, you know. And they just can't seem to put this together. It's confusing. So, what is this? I mean, are they not born again or not? Or is born again just something that's just kind of, it's kind of something to take light, you know, and it's just, you just say you're born again, and then you just try to start doing things a little better. Is that what it's all about? Is that the end of it? No. So I warn you today, again, don't let anything like that fool you. Because before I'm done with this little series, if you'll stick with me and hang on, I'll let the Word of God show you what a real born-again Christian is. And where those are going that are not born again but say they are, where they're heading. You say, Brother Steve, that sounds awful serious. It is serious. And that's my responsibility, I feel, is try to get people to see this in reality. Because I'm telling you, friends, with what you're about to face, it's coming. That's the only thing that's going to hold you is a genuine new birth. And don't let people being around you that look like Christians, going to church all the time and doing things that's nice and all that, don't let that fool you. Can I say it one more time? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How can a man, woman, or young person do that? You can't. Unless Jesus Christ comes in your heart, changes that worldly nature you was born with, and that nature of God takes your life over. That is the only way. Now, you may still make a mistake, but the difference is, if you do, that thing will bother you so bad and you'll cry out to God to forgive you. You will put it under the blood. And by God's grace and the determination and desire He places in your heart, you will overcome that thing. There's the difference. That's why you see people claiming to be maybe, oh, this is the right religion. This is the right way. This is the right belief. And then see nothing but hypocrisy. Remember, as Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. The truth. Where can we find truth? Right here in this Word. Yes, in the Word only. So I trust that, and just starting out, which my time's quickly going by, but I trust that I've maybe got a little special spot in your heart, your attention, so that you'll listen. Because again, it's the truth, friends, that will set you free. Don't mean to keep repeating it, but I'm telling you, it's the truth that will set you free. Not what some pastor, priest, teacher might even claim he's a prophet, whatever it may be. If whatever those men speak does not line up with this Word, you walk away from it. Yes. Because it has to stay with the Word. Oh, my. It's another message in itself. But let's read here again now in St. John 14. Let's read this. 24th, I'll just read down the 26th verse. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Now, how can you have the Holy Ghost, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and not love God's Word? You can't, because that's what the gift of the Holy Ghost will do. It'll stir a love in your heart to serve Him and obey Him. You see? He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, Jesus is saying, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So now how could you be a forgetful hearer and have the Holy Ghost? Huh? How can we be a forgetful hearer? We stood there, and people, we know there's, saints, we know there's people all over the world that will listen to God's Word. They may be gathered around like we are today and listening to their pastor or whatever online and doing it that way, streaming it. And they may hear what he says. And as soon as it's over with, put the Bible on the shelf, let's go get something to eat, I'm done, we'll go do this. And a very test or trial come up the next day that what that pastor or teacher said, whatever it may be, brought out. They will face that test and trial tomorrow, and they will fail it as sure as the world, the same as they failed it the last 30 times or more. Yeah. They didn't hear nothing. They heard it with natural ears. But they were forgetful here. I'm warning you today of things. You'll be tested to see if you're a forgetful here or not. Or whether you'll go out the door or you'll leave your living room, wherever you're sitting, maybe listening to me right now, you'll be tested to see if you're forgetful here. And the only way you can fix that problem is get the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Then he will do exactly what he said. When a test and trial comes up, you watch that word come back to your memory right then. He said it would, didn't he? Does God lie? No, he doesn't. If that doesn't happen to me, it don't mean God lies. It just means I don't have it. Because God said, now remember, we're dealing with the one that created the heavens and the earth. Every star hanging out there and the moon and the sun, all these things, all the botany life on the earth and everything, God created all these things by his great hand. Don't you think he can't keep his word also? That if he fills you with his Holy Ghost, it will bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you? Sure he will. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change. Scripture tells us that. Okay? All right? So, let's go on. Let's keep moving now. So, with that in mind, let's just go back again to this example. We was talking about Paul a little bit, but I want to refresh your minds with this. And Paul's experience, I won't go clear back and read it, but he was on this road to Damascus to put more into prison, Christians, believers, and born-again sons and daughters of God, put them in prison, and maybe if he had the opportunity, see him killed too, you know. It didn't bother him, you know, just so what, you know, just another dog, just another cat, you know, just kill him. So, you know, that's what his job was to do, and that was his ambition. Remember, Paul asked permission to do it. Nobody told him to. Paul asked permission to go hell these people into prison. It was in his heart to do so. It was his desire to see those Christians put in prison. It was his desire to witness their death. Yeah. Talk about hard. Talk about a hard heart. Talk about a corrupt heart. A corrupt desire. But that's what Paul was before his change. Okay? Just like the rest of us are. Corrupt, filthy, stinking, dirty, until God changes our desire. Till he changes that nature about us. That soul. Which that soul is the nature on the spirit. So until God changes that, and remember, as I said last Sunday, the soul, which is really who we are, controls this human spirit, imagination, reasoning, yeah, conscience, memory, affection. It controls that, and then that controls the flesh. So the flesh ends up only doing what the desire was, which the soul is the desire. So we find here, listen to this change that took place. Just refresh your minds. And let's, hopefully you've got your Bible in there, and those that don't think it's there or maybe never read it before, you'll listen to this. This is in Acts 9 chapter, begin the 13th verse. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem." Now, before this is where a vision came to Ananias. And the Lord told him to go pray for Paul, okay, which was still Saul at that time. But go pray for Paul and warn him what would take place and everything. Because Ananias wasn't going to do this. I mean, no. I don't want to take this chance. He'll put me in prison, you know. But God assured him what would happen, okay, with this mean, old, wicked person he was, Paul. I should say Saul. Because it meant a lot to change his name to Paul. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." Now think of that. That dirty old, low-down Saul that wanted to kill Christians like you and me. If Paul or Saul, it was to take place today like that, it'd be us kind of people he'd want to kill us. He'd be us kind of people he'd want to put in prison. That's how mean he was. He wouldn't want us to gather here. He wouldn't even want us to mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how terrible he was. Yeah. But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." This man chosen to do this? So, do you think God can still change a man's heart? Do you think he can still change a woman's heart to make it? Now, remember what took place with Paul here. There was a drastic change here. I mean, drastic. There was no doubt that once God got done doing what he'd done, which he filled Paul with the Holy Spirit, there was no doubt in mind that this happened in Paul's life. People today can claim they're born again, and you can doubt it. You can wonder, seriously? Born again? And the desires you've got? Yet? The things you want to do out in the world? Yet? Mean as a snake yet? Born again? Always talking bad about somebody? Always murmuring, complaining? Born again? There was a drastic change took in Paul's life. And a drastic change would take care in every man's, woman's life that's really born again. But not those that's really born, not born again. It don't happen. You see a better life, you see him try harder. You see him doing better. But when this happens, friends, there is a tremendous change in your life that people can see it. Your associates, everywhere you go, everyone that passes by can see it. Won't you listen, friends? Okay? "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way. Ananias obeyed because the Lord assured him. Okay, go ahead, Ananias. Everything will be all right. Just do what I say. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul." You can see Ananias already accepted it. Brother Saul. He knew what God was going to do because God told him in that vision. So he knew it was going to happen. Now it's brother. Yeah. And then Ananias went his way and entered the house and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Wow, what a tremendous hour. What a tremendous hour. What a tremendous hour it is for any man and woman in their life to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. You see his obedience to the Scripture? Right away. Yes, right away. Yeah. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. Now, wait a minute. This is ones he was going to put in prison just a few days before this. And he didn't care about them. And now he's together with the disciples and talking all about the Lord Jesus and what took place and all these great things. Yeah. Isn't that something? He was on his way to put people like you and me in prison and maybe even delight in seeing us killed. And now all of a sudden, something changed drastically. Now, we haven't got time, but we could go on through the Scripture, but I'm just bringing up a certain point here. But we could go on through the Scripture and continue to see it declared and manifested, Paul's new birth. Yeah. Okay? And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. Now, wait a minute, he was going to put people in prison just for mentioning that name. Now he's preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a change. To the point that he is the Son of God, but all that heard him were amazed. The point to where they were amazed. I wonder how many times people can be amazed when they see the change in our life. Or do they see or heard us say, I started going to church. I'm going to church regularly. And I think I got the new birth. I went to church and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And the buddy on the job comes up and maybe accidentally bumps into him. Watch where you're going! Huh? Holy Ghost? Something ain't right. That's what too many people have to see in this day and age instead of being amazed of the change that took place in somebody's life. They have to see too much of somebody saying, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and they have to see all the craziness we're still into. They have to see the husband and wife fighting with each other. Yeah. They have to see a man being mean to his children. Or they have to see a man not correcting his children. Either way. They have to see all these things. And they know about these things. And to the point, they're not amazed of the change. They're amazed that the person said they're born again and ain't no change. Something's wrong. But it happens way too often, as I said. Way too often. And that's why people can't understand and they have questions and they're confused and they look at what's supposed to be Christians. I'm talking about even believers in this message, friends. And are so confused. Really? They ain't got anything different than I got. I go to Catholic Church. They ain't got nothing more than I got, and I go to Baptist Church. And my preacher don't even, I know he don't preach truth. Ain't that a sad story? But it's not the true story that's in the Bible. The true story in the Bible is a genuine change. Yeah. Now I'll close here quickly, or soon here, and I'll pick us up tonight, Lord willing. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem? They're so amazed. And came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound into the chief priests. Oh, they were just so amazed and a little sketchy, but they were seeing something happen to Paul that was unbelievable. I don't know about you, saints, but I want people to know something unbelievable has happened in my life.
totally unbelievable.
Yeah.
That they know that person's got something real. That they can look at you too and say, he's got something real. I don't know what happened to him. I don't understand this, all what I'm seeing in this man or this woman, but I know for sure he's definitely changed, or she has definitely changed. I mean, this is unbelievable. Yeah. But again, in closing, well, let me read this, then we'll close. Behold, I show you a mystery. This is in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's pick it up a little bit later on Paul. This is when he's coming down to the last few days there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. I was talking about the body from mortal to immortal, changed in rapture. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Notice what he said there, shall be raised. Listen, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, not corrupted like it was. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now listen, this was a man that was messed up for a long time in his life. Now look at the assurance he has. Talk about change. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thy victory. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Lord, we'll get more on that tonight. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's where our victory lays, saints. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said now, what is going to be that people see? You may sit there and say, as I close, I don't care what people see. You better care what people see. I've seen that happen before in my life, friends. And people just come right up to you. And they've claimed and professed to be a Christian, a believer, but and then they still get the idea, I don't care what people see. You don't? You better care. Because all people are supposed to see is Jesus Christ living in you. That's all. As Apostle Paul said, I'll remind you, Galatians 2:20, we talked about last Sunday. I live, yes, I'm living, Paul said. I live. But yet it's not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that again shows you this ain't the real you. The life which I now live in the flesh, that's that soul is the real you, friends. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Is it the flesh that receives revelation? Is it the human spirit received? No, that's just a womb open to the soul. It's the soul that receives revelation. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, again, should I be concerned what people see? Absolutely. You should be concerned what people see. And how terrible it is. How so corrupted it is. How evil it is and how wicked it is. They may not understand yet what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyhow. For people to see me blow my stack after I've professed that I'm a believer, that I'm born again. People see me do things not caring for other fellow man. Not caring for my other brother or sister that may have a need. I just walk away from them and don't care. How corruptible and wicked and devilish you are. That may be hard to understand, but you will see where it's going. There's no in between. You're either in Christ and saved, or you're lost and going to hell. There's no middle of the road. Not in the hour we're living in. There's no middle. There's no maybe. You have got to know as an individual where you're at. And I trust by what I'm bringing that it'll help you find that place. That if you're there, what a greater assurance you can have. If you're not there, you'll scream out to God. If there's anything calling to the deep there, if there's no deep calling to the deep and there's no desire for this, you're only on one direction, one path, friends. That's to burn in hell. I hate to be the bad bearer of bad news, but I have to tell you and remind you what God's Word has already told us, you see. So I trust that you'll take what so far we've read in these things and listen to them very closely. And you'll be as that little child that the Lord Jesus set in the midst of his disciples, in the midst of the people, and say, except you be as this little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom. Except you humble yourself down and listen to God's word, you'll not enter in, friends. If you don't humble yourself down and ask God to help you apply it in your life, you'll not enter. We're in a serious time, saints. Remember, this virus going around is minor. Minor, I warn you, to what will happen. It's like stubbing your toe versus full of cancer. Yeah. It will be much worse. Only one way out, friends, and that's through obedience of God's word. Amen. And Jesus Christ filling your life with him, himself. Amen. Let us all stand. I won't hold Gene longer. We'll go ahead and dismiss with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service, sometimes I wonder, Lord, will they be as they was with Stephen? And Lord, it's not the sinner. It's not those that know they're wrong that would do that. It's the ones that think they're right. The ones that think they are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and everything's going just the way it should be. And yet, Lord, I trust that every man and woman is still listening to my prayer, Lord. But maybe a man can't even treat his wife right. He don't respect her. Or maybe the woman don't respect her husband. And they don't care about each other. But Lord, whatever these things may be, we could go on and mention every circumstance or many circumstances that happens in every man and woman's life daily. But Lord, everything must be given account of. Everything. But Lord, we can go a long time thinking we're Christians and thinking everything's all right. But Lord, only you can really open our hearts, because we know we're living in the age, Lord, that people could believe they're Christians when they're not. That's what you told the prophet. The prophet shared it with us. And Father, we must realize it's truth. And we see it being played out before us according to your word. So help us now, Lord, as we leave this little place. And Father, help us to realize we need the word, Lord, to prepare us what's about to face us. And Father, the only way we're going to get it is listen to your word and cry out for revelation, or we'll never be able to take it, Lord. So help us now as my prayer, and as a little pastor, Lord, a little shepherd, I need you, Lord. I ask you to show me and reveal to me the things that I could renew your people's hearts and minds back to, that would be of help to them and strengthen them and get them to see what you're doing in this hour. Because it's not my words, Lord. I'm nothing. I can do nothing in myself at all whatsoever. I'm not even smart enough. I'm not educated, and I just don't know these things. But Lord, I'm asking you to help me to yield to you to help your people. So bless us now as we part from this little place, Lord, and as each individual's part from maybe their place they're sitting home, may you, Lord, by the Holy Spirit and your mercy and grace, may they have taken these things into heart and Lord, ask you for help and greater understanding. In your glorious, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. May God richly bless you all.